Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World. That music that you just heard was from the internet sensation Smooth McGroove. I don't know if you're familiar with his a cappella arrangements of video game music, but go check out his YouTube channel. It's really, really amazing. Specifically, what you just heard was his a cappella arrangement from Super Mario Bros. 3, which I felt was pretty appropriate for this episode. We'll hear him a little later, but right now let me go on and introduce my experts. These two gentlemen believe they have all the knowledge that there is on Mario Bros. 3 and Mario World. So let me go on and chat with one of them. My first expert is Lorenzo. Lorenzo, I have no clue how to pronounce your last name. How do I pronounce it?
Toya.
Toya. What is that?
Yeah. It's Sicilian.
Oh, we just got fancy on the podcast.
I used to tell people it was shortened at Ellis Island. I never came up with the name it was shortened from, so I eventually stopped telling people it was shortened at Ellis Island.
All right.
I always thought I had a real short last name.
It is short, but you know what? It totally works for you. You have a really long first name, so...
See, yeah, I always thought it would have been nice to have a short first name. Like you, you've got a short first name and a long last name.
I do.
Or at least longer.
Yeah, somewhat. Well, all right. Let's not talk about names. People are here because they want to learn about Mario Brothers. Now, you're a gamer, right?
Yeah, of course.
What type of games do you play, my friend?
Well, I just, about 3 hours ago, I just finished playing some Mass Effect 2. And
yes.
It is morning time.
Oh man, that's a good game.
Yeah, it's my second time through it. It's just such a chronicle, you know. It's great.
I've been meaning to go back to it. I finished the trilogy earlier last year, and I've got to go back to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
play a different class. Changes everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. Aside from Mass Effect, Lorenzo, what else do you play? Are you a retro gamer? Did you grow up with video games? What's up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the arcades. I love the retro games. Actually, yeah, shout out to Wreck-It Ralph for being what Wizard never was.
That's hardcore, man.
We'll get there.
And all right, before we move on to the emotionally wrecked Scott Ross, Lorenzo, I'm going to save that question for later, but I'm assuming you have played both Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. collate your thoughts on them. I will come back to you with questions.
Gathering thoughts.
My next expert, he's been on the podcast before, and I'm glad to have him back, is...
Mr. Scott Ross. How you guys doing?
Hey, Scott.
How you, Scott? Yeah.
How's it going?
Well,
first,
now...
I need to... Really quick, The Wizard is one of the best movies ever made. Moving on. In 1986 Christmas, I was bought an NES for Christmas. I had pro wrestling, ice hockey, Super Mario Brothers, Hogan's Alley, and it was the best day of my life. And that preceded my 24 years of playing video games.
Okay. Wow. We had you on the Final Fantasy podcast, which was really great, and you should all go listen to it. Scott, these games that we're about to talk about, Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World, are either one of them your favorite Mario game, or is there another one we don't know about?
My favorite Mario game is Super Mario Galaxy.
Good choice. Can't argue that.
But it's only because of innovation. And it doesn't mean that I don't think Mario 3 and Mario World are not pinnacles of what they are. But Mario is the one game out of any game ever. It always, always innovates. And Mario 3 completely innovated from what they had done. And Mario World you know, even like with the 16-bit graphics, like the first time I turned the game on, it blew my mind when I was at the I turned it on, and there was I swear there had never been such a graphical leap. Like, well, going from 8-bit to 16-bit was just mind-boggling at the time.
Scott has leapt into my podcast with no fear. hold on to those thoughts, Scott. So I have brought on an outcast, as is typical for my format. He's been on the show before, and my outcast today is...
Pete Foose.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, it's going to be fun being the outcast. This should be an interesting experience.
You're a pseudo-outcast, because you're not familiar with Mario World, but you have played Mario 3 quite a bit.
Yes, I have. I loved Mario 3. I thought it was a fantastic game, through and through, and I've done a speed playthrough before, which I was impressed with myself.
Ooh, nice.
And but Super Mario World, I played it, and there are many things I liked about it, but I really don't think as highly of it as I do Super Mario 3.
Silly question, but were you a Genesis kid? Did you have a Genesis?
I was a Genesis kid.
Okay.
But I had access to Mario. Hey, shush.
Man.
Since Sega Master System, which blew the Nintendo 8-bit out of the water, by the way.
Not with games.
Not with games. They didn't have the titles, but they had the graphic power, man. I love that system. But yeah.
Talk to the Dreamcast and the Saturn. You can have all the graphical power you want, but if you don't have the games, forget about it.
Boys, come on now. Come on.
But anyway, yes, I had a Nintendo Entertainment System, an NES original, and I borrowed Super Nintendo from a friend. We'd trade Genesis and Super Nintendo, and that's how I played Chrono Trigger and things like that. But
that's a sweet deal.
It was, and he lived, our backyards connected, so we just walk over to the fence and switch systems, and it was awesome.
Oh, that is pretty awesome. Pete, do you have any recollection of the first time that you played Mario Brothers 3? Were you familiar with Mario up until that point? Had you played the first and second game?
I had played the first and the second games, okay. And the first I had seen Mario Brothers 3 was in the 1990s movie The Wizard, and... which I believe we've discussed earlier. And I watched that movie, and as a kid, when I watched movies, I didn't watch them once. I watched them 7 times in a row, no matter how bad they were. I've seen The Giver like 5 times with Mark Hamill. So, yeah, I watched The Wizard a whole bunch of times, and I saw Super Mario 3, and it taught me how to... That was when I first saw it, and I was like, this game looks great! I wonder if it's a real game. And then it came out, and I was very happy, and yeah.
Okay. We had you on the Mass Effect podcast. Are there any other games or any other platformers that you might really be into? Or, like, are you a retro gamer? Can you play retro games nowadays, or do you find them too dated?
I can play retro games. I have an easier time playing retro games that I used to play back then. So I could pick up Mario 3, or I could pick up Shining Force 2 off the Genesis. I have no problem playing that retro. Playing new retro games bothers me sometimes.
Okay.
Because I want the control.
Okay.
But yes, platformers a lot. Sure.
Okay. I'm going to throw out a list of platformers. Just tell me if you've played them or not, okay?
Absolutely.
Mega Man.
Yes.
Castlevania.
Big yes.
Ninja Gaiden.
Yes.
Oh, what is it called? Rayman Legends, or any of the Raymans.
I didn't really get into Rayman. I got into random other ones on the Nintendo, like Power Blade. Blade was a great platformer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Mighty Bomb Jack. Have you played Mighty Bomb Jack?
Mighty Bomb Jack. That was a good game, yeah.
It was a great game.
That was a good game.
All right. Well,
yeah, I guess I do like platformers. Thanks, Chris.
Actually, I'm not the outcast anymore. These games are amazing. All right, well, let's jump into this discussion. And remember, Pete, as my outcast, you are allowed to ask questions at any time. So please, if you do.
Oh, I will.
So let me set the ground stage. We'll start with Super Mario Bros. 3 first, which took 2 years to develop. It was released in 1990 in America, which was 2 years after it had been released in Japan. Now, I was not aware of game releases in Japan at the time, for I was just a little child, and I had Nintendo Power.
What was Japan?
Yeah, what was Japan?
Don't they make something there? Like, the games? Whatever.
In hindsight, 2 years after Japan, getting it is ludicrous. I mean, I feel nowadays games are pretty good with not releasing too far after one another in different territories.
We would have filled out a petition at change.org.
Oh, yeah, no. I did find out that the reason it was released so long after Japan was there was a shortage of ROM chips I don't know if that was specific here in America or if it was just international. Also, the Japanese developers had, in the meantime, developed Mario Brothers 2, or at least the U.S. version of Mario Brothers 2, and so that pushed back us getting Mario Brothers 3. Nintendo took this opportunity to create, or at least allow their products to be used in the movie The Wizard. I don't know if anyone in the listening audience is familiar with The Wizard, but it's a movie with Fred Savage.
best actor ever.
If I vaguely remember this movie correctly, it's 90 minutes of this kid who has, I don't know, he's got Asperger's or something, and he's going to a tournament to raise money for his disease. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen it. But there's a lot of Nintendo cameos. The Power Glove is in it. And it ends with footage of Super Mario Brothers 3, which I think every kid just completely crapped their pants when they saw that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about The Wizard first. Have you guys seen this movie? Do you remember this experience?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, back when I was a kid. And when I had to choose a Fred Savage movie to remember for the rest of my life, I just go with Princess Bride, and all other works are completely... burned to ashes in my mind. Except the Wonder Years.
When that movie came out, my life changed. Let me be clear that I was at Kimsville Elementary School. I remember the day that my dad picked me up from school. It was a Thursday. That was the day that my dad picked me up. And he's like, "Hey, bud. Hey, I got some bad news. We have to go see your stepmother's grandmother and hang out at Grandma Jones's house." Grandma Jones's house was no fun, let's be clear. He's like, "We got to go there for a little while, okay? Is that okay?" "Yeah, that's fine, Dad." He goes, "But if you do that and you'll be good, we're going to go take you to see a movie." I was like, "A movie? What movie?" He's like, "It begins with the W." And I said, "The Wizard! Oh my God, I'm going to see this movie!" And then the movie was amazing. And then the Power Glove, they got it to work, which the Power Glove never, ever worked. So who knows how they got it to work on the movie. I have no idea. Movie magic. The Power Glove actually worked. And then at the end, they get to the final. They compete in this tournament. They get to the final two, and they change the game. And the new game is Super Mario Brothers 3. And once again, the only thing I ever wanted in my life was Super Mario 3. And I got Super Mario 3 on Easter. It was tricked. I was tricked. All I asked for Easter was, "Dad, can I get Mario 3? "No, no, no. It's too expensive of a gift. Just ask for something else." "Okay, I'll get one of those little Game & Watch games. Those little Batman game thing." "Okay, we'll get you that." Well, Easter morning came and I got nothing, but I got this little Mario statuette that was in my Easter basket, and attached to it was a little note that my dad wrote that said, "What's in this grass?" Now, I thought it meant the grass that the Mario statuette was hanging on to, because he was kind of in the grass, and I was like, "Oh, it's Mario." So a half an hour goes by of me eating chocolate, and then 45 minutes go by, and an hour goes by, and my dad's like, "Hey, what's in that grass?" And I go, "Oh, Mario's in the grass." He's like, no, oh, God, in the grass of the Easter basket. I was like, "Oh, I don't know." So I dug through the grass of the Easter basket, and below the grass was Super Mario Brothers 3, and I ran around the house screaming.
Because, like, you were all hopped up on chocolate.
Oh, my God, that was one of the best moments of my entire life.
I have a very similar experience when I pulled my Super NES out from underneath the couch with my brother. It was the last gift of the year, and oh, brother. Oh, geez. Came with Populous, Super Mario World. Oh, God.
You know, I honestly don't remember getting Mario Brothers 3. I mean, I had the game, but I don't remember it. Like, I remember getting Mario World. I don't remember Mario Brothers 3, like, being this landmark title that I got. I did see The Wizard in theater and thought, like, the idea of a Nintendo championship, like a video game championship, was really cool. And then that, like, the final game is a game you know nothing about. And little did I know that there were actually real Nintendo World Championships. I found this out much later. And then I found out that one of my friends, i.e. you, Scott, has been to a couple of these championships, which really blew my mind. I do have a question. Are the championships how they're portrayed in The Wizard, Scott?
Yes.
Are you on a stage in front of a huge audience playing these games?
Yeah, well, yes. So what they do is they have regional competitions. This happened only twice, in 1990 and in 1995. 95. In 1990, I was too young to really do anything, and it was they had three different age groups. You would go to a regional competition, and then you'd have to get a certain score to qualify to go on stage. And if you went on stage, you had to be the highest scoring person, then you qualified for the last day. And so it's kind of like a tournament to weed out, to get to the top seven, to get to the top two, and then the top two play, and the person with the highest score wins. That was 1990. I never got a high enough score because the last game, they do three games usually, and the last game was Tetris, and I was never good at Tetris. In 95, however, I was a lot older, and it was Lost Levels, Mario Bros. Lost Levels, and then it was Super Mario Kart, which nobody wants to play me in Mario Kart. Because
I trained,
like after I won the regional competition in 95, I trained. I played Mario Kart every day. I could play the first race with my eyes closed.
I played Mario Kart every day.
challenge.
I'm 28, though.
First level of Mario Lost Levels, I could also play that level with my eyes closed. I would wake up every morning and I would play the first level of Mario Lost Levels. I'd play the first level of Mario Kart and would just do those things over and over and over and over again to the point where I had it timed. And your goal was to get to those games quickly enough to get to Ken Griffey Jr. Home Run Derby and hit as many home runs as possible. In 1995, they did something that they did in the movie, and we all should have saw it coming. Because they called it the Power Fest, they were previewing Donkey Kong Country. This is when Donkey Kong Country came out. So there was demos for all of us to play Donkey Kong Country. Well, sure enough, when they got to the Final Four, they're like, all right, yeah, it's time for the Final Four. All right, get your controllers ready, guys. By the way, we're changing the game! And everybody goes, oh, fuck, it's the Wizard. They're changing the game. And then it all hit me. Oh, my God. They're changing it to Donkey Kong Country. And I was the kid, I was the little one, I didn't know, but all the other kids were 17 and 18, they knew exactly, they were prepared. They were training on Donkey Kong Country when everybody was demoing, I was having the free cheeseburgers on the buffet, not knowing that I should have been training in Donkey Kong Country. So I lost, and that was the worst day of my life in San Diego when I lost in the finals.
You're like the anti-wizard. Like
it keeps coming back to that movie, man. That's pinnacled so many times in your life.
I'm telling you, man.
I mean, I'm sure the Wizard really boosted Mario Brothers 3 sales. Do you guys remember that commercial where like it's a bird's eye view of a couple of kids standing in a subdivision, and then the camera just keeps pulling back to like the view of the whole of the United States, and like all these kids are just like yelling out Mario, Mario, and it forms Mario's face on the North American continent. Do you guys remember that commercial?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I remember that. I feel their marketing for Mario Bros. 3 was pretty damn good. I'm gonna read a quote to you guys, and then I want to read some things about the game, and then I'm gonna pick your minds here for a little bit. I found a quote that said, "If Super Mario Brothers defined a genre, Super Mario Brothers 3 perfected it." How do you guys respond to that?
Absolutely. Super Mario Brothers 3 is, I think, almost by far the best game on the Nintendo. It's the number one. I think it's the number one game on the Nintendo. The graphics quality, they were able to pull so much on 8-bit. It's amazing what they were able to do with the graphics for Super Mario Brothers 3. And the gameplay is great. The play control is amazing. I mean, that's a lot of problems with the early games, is that they were difficult, not because the game was difficult. They were difficult because the play control was bad. The play control in Mario Brothers 3 is fan-freaking-tastic.
Lorenzo? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lorenzo, do you agree with that assessment, or do you feel there's a different game that defines the genre a bit better?
I do agree. It gives the player so much accessibility, so many more options, you know, with the different items you can achieve, which is something that Super Mario World completely, mastered, or you said Mario created in this
Mario Brothers. The quote is, "If Super Mario Brothers defined a genre, Super Mario Brothers 3 perfected it."
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Pete, as my outcast, and since you have played the game, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a fantastic game, and I agree with Scott's assessment that it's probably the best platformer on the Nintendo, the original 8-bit system, that you can get. I love playing this game. There are parts I hated. And there are parts that, to this day, I will skip those parts. I will use my warp whistles to get past certain maps, and I refuse to play them. But
Which map would you? I would get all the whistles just to say I got the whistles, but I'm still going through this level.
I have been through all the levels.
What map would you want to skip?
The ice world.
Are
never,
you kidding me? That's
I
how
hate,
you get.
That's how you get the what, Scott?
The Hammer Brothers suit is in the ice world.
Don't you know, Pete?
Pete. No. But I don't need two Hammer Brothers suits. I just
need
one.
Do, because if you put the Hammer Brothers suit, you get hit by a Goomba almost immediately, and then you get so upset. you have to have two of them.
Pete has cemented his position as outcast once again. All is right with the world.
Funny, I love this game, and yet you guys are still yelling at me.
Pete, I will agree. The warp whistle is a brilliant idea. It's essentially like the hidden pipes in the first game, but rather than having to find them, once you have the whistle, you can kind of skip. It's like pick and choose your own adventure. For me, I love the ice world. For me, it's World 7, the Pipeland. That is the world that is the toughest for me, and if level I'm going to skip, that's the one I'm inclined to. But I have played through every world before. I have done the no-skip challenge, so...
Yes, of course. I have too. Come on, guys. I'm just saying what I prefer.
Okay. Here's a question for my experts. Is this the best game on the original NES?
You know how I said I like Mass Effect? You know, I'm cruising Mass Effect right now. I just love it.
Yeah.
I love the options given to a player and, you know, just all the choices you can make and the freedom, you know, one has to enjoy every aspect of a game. So in that respect, I really loved Maniac Mansion.
Oh.
Where you can, you could turn the light switch on or off for no goddamn reason, just because you have the option to turn a light switch on or off, you know?
Maniac Mansion was, like, a great game to just play in. It really, like, set up a good, nice, small world to just explore before that was even really popular.
Oh, sure, yeah. So I love Maniac Mansion. But, okay. You know, Mario 3, God. Oh, if I see Mario 3, I'm going to devote the next hour of my life to playing whatever I can of it.
Scott, what about you? Is this the best game on the NES, or is there something that beats it for you?
Oh, yeah. As I said before, this is by far the best game on the NES. The only thing that comes close for me is Final Fantasy.
There it is.
It comes close, but the thing is that Final Fantasy was a lot earlier in the system than Mario 3. Mario 3 was near the end of the system, right? For NES, kind of.
Yeah, 1990, that would be pretty...
For us.
Yeah,
totally.
Final Fantasy was beginning its adventure to being, you know, to getting perfected, whereas Super Mario Brothers 3 was, at that point, starting to get its... I mean, it was at its pinnacle. It had gone through, you know, Super Mario Brothers 1, and then the Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan we didn't get, and then they gave us another game that wasn't Super Mario Brothers and made it Super Mario Brothers 2 in America, and then Super Mario 3 came
out. Doki Doki Panic.
Yes, Doki Doki Panic. Yep.
Which is Japanese for Doki Doki Panic.
that's amazing.
Here are some things that Mario Brothers 3 introduced, and there's one I definitely want to talk about, but feel free to chat on whatever you want. It introduces the Koopalings. It gives us airships. It gives us a world map, which had never been introduced up until that point. And not just a world map, but like the map logistically... like details the levels. So like if you have a level that takes place in water, then on the map it is probably going to be in a body of water, or you know, that's just one example. And then of course what everybody loves, the suits, including the leaf, the tanuki, the frog suit, and the Hammer Brothers suit, and of course the fire flower. Can't forget good old fire flower. Yeah, what do you guys want to talk about?
If we could just say just one thing, the suits are really what makes this game. This game is the one that had all... It was the first one that had all the suits. It had everything. And if we're going to really get into a discussion, I think the one thing that Super Mario World lacks is the diversity in suits. It was the best part of Super Mario Brothers 3 for me.
They could have gone further with it. I mean, with, you know, with Yoshi and, you know, different levels to... appear in, you know, they kind of focused on other things other than the suits in Mario World. I don't know Yeah, I don't know what I was saying there. Sorry.
I feel some of the suits in Mario 3 are a little redundant. Like, I love the Leaf suit. I really do. The Tanuki is essentially the Leaf suit, except you can turn into a statue, which...
Yeah, you can.
Which is helpful.
Awesome.
I don't know if I love it as much as everybody else does. I don't know.
I agree with Chris. I totally forgot about turning to stone. I just cruised through the level. I had nothing to hide from.
I know you jump in the air and then you turn into the stone and then bam and you crush something.
Yeah,
on top
you can bash the hell out of
yep.
them straight sure. down. And if you miss, like if you're jumping on something, you know how sometimes if you miss that jump and then it'll shrink you, you won't miss. If you miss, you just you just land as a statue and you don't get downgraded to whatever you are. So the Tanuki suit is a major upgrade if you use it correctly.
Yeah, and you can carry it all the way through that. One map and with the skeletons, and I love using the Tanuki suit to slam down on the skeletons and then run away.
Absolutely
true. The stone statue falling on things will kill creatures that your normal jump attack will not, which is
that's right.
very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you have the
found it by accident too. I was so happy.
That is a really happy accident to stumble upon. Then you have the frog suit, which is really useful in water levels. And really hard to use in anything else. At least that's my opinion. If you guys feel it is very usable on land, then speak now or forever hold your peace.
It is not usable on land. It is not. But in the water, it is invaluable. It actually makes the water levels much more enjoyable. You're like, water level. And any other time you're like, oh my god, oh water, oh god, I got it too high, oh no, too low, oh god, oh. And the frog, you're like, oh right, oh.
I belong here, yeah.
Oh my god.
I belong here. this feels good.
yeah. Oh, there's a big fish, oh no worries, no.
that brings us to my favorite suit, the Hammer Brothers suit. Which is the rarest item in... Well, it's not the rarest item in the game, but it's the rarest suit that you can come across in the game. I think you only get three of them naturally in the game.
Two. You get two of
two.
Them.
Two of them. Okay.
And I know where they both are, by
yep,
the way.
Yep, me too.
And it functions somewhat like the Fire Flower, but the range and the arc of the projectiles is very different, and the damage it can do is very different, which is
Knock
awesome.
Knock out a Koopa, that's what you could do with it.
Yeah.
I have never defeated King Koopa with the Hammer Brothers suit on.
Not King Koopa.
I don't know how you can get to that point. I mean, look, let's be honest. Super Mario Brothers 3 is an extremely challenging game. There are. I mean, you look at like level 8, world 2. That jump could take you 20 lives. There's even the fortress in world 7 is just unbelievably hard. My only gripe with Super Mario Bros. 3 is the fact that the Hammer Brothers suit, you only get two of them, you get hit once, it's gone, and you can't get any more, and I wish there was a level that gave you one, because it's honestly the one suit that I don't know much about, because I've only had it or played with it for a couple minutes, you know, because you get hit once and you're done, you get hit all the time, like you've got to be a master, you know, platformer to be able to play Mario Brothers 3 without getting hit. It's that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You mentioned the worlds, specifically World 8. I love the design of World 8, which is essentially hell on Earth. Like, Darkland, or whatever they call it, King Koopa's actual domain. It's like Mordor. It's like video game Mordor. It's just...
Totally.
It's horrible. And he's filled it with nothing but tanks. Nothing but tanks and warships. This is what he does with his free time. Now
and
here,
jump, and yeah. jumps with little one blocks.
Yeah.
Little one square jumps. And you're like, how do I... Three in a row? How do I do that?
and all of his ships, if I'm correct, all of his ships are in... what looked to be lava, but it's not lava because you can swim in it, which tells me that it must be blood. So it's just creepy. It is a creepy,
rivers
creepy
of
world.
Blood.
I'd like to speak to the civil engineers responsible for this layout.
Yes.
King Koopa, where are we going to find more blood? We can't fill a whole lake.
Kill more troopers. Kill them all.
Wait, what? Bowser's...
Was Koopa German?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean, obviously he is.
Is that...
yeah.
Have you seen that red mane of hair he's sporting? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And those double letter names, that's a Dutch thing, man. He could be German.
What did they who did they name the Koopalings after? There was Ludwig von and
Ludwig von Koopen. Roy.
Morton.
Yep.
Iggy,
yep.
Wendy.
Yeah, I remember Wendy, the girl with the rings.
Yep.
Lemmy. It was Lemmy. And Larry.
Yes. Oof.
I think that's it. Larry, did we do Morton?
Yeah, that's all seven. That's all seven.
Yeah.
I thought,
nice. Good job, guys.
I thought the children were a really smart idea, because one thing about the original Mario Brothers, which was really, that got really tiring, is you'd go and you'd fight Koopa at the end of four levels, and it wouldn't really be him. It'd be some minion in disguise. What I loved about Mario 2 was it had, like, legitimate bosses, like the Fry Guy boss, Birdie. The Triclops, Birdo. So it's just that natural evolution of, like, actually giving your bosses more character.
But Mario Brothers lost levels. It was still just King Koopa, though.
You're right.
And that's the real number two.
True.
He's still doing just fighting Koopa. Stuff.
Yep.
Same week.
You know what's crazy about the Koopalings? Do you know that they're not technically Koopa's children? They're cousins.
We've got the inside scoop for you here right now, people. Not really Koopa children, but Koopa cousins.
Yes.
Koopa, you are not the father.
Oh, damn, Jerry.
How do you... Wait. Explain this, Scott. I've never heard that they're his cousins.
Well, in a 2012 interview with American magazine Game Informer, Miyamoto said that our current story is that the Koopalings are not Bowser's children. The reason why he did that is because Bowser Jr. is Bowser's. And the Koopalings are kind of cousins or, you know, family members, that crazy family, you know. What a great Thanksgiving they would have, man.
Yeah, there's nothing awkward about that Thanksgiving dinner table.
Nothing but toadstools and peaches on the table.
More blood wine, my cousins.
Gravy boats full of blood, yeah.
Where is Mrs. Koopa? Like,
oh, she left.
You don't
want to
know. You don't want to know.
A big yellow taxi took her away.
I think it's actually Peach is Mrs. Koopa, because I think that she keeps getting captured. I think the whole thing is that she's cheating on Mario with Bowser, and that's
and the Koopalings are the illegitimate children.
That's how she gets her freak on. She pretends she's being kidnapped and hires a plumber to
save
rescue
me,
her.
Mario. But take your time. Go through eight levels before you get to me.
I'm
not in that castle. I'm in this other castle.
That reminds me, the ending of Super Mario Brothers 3, when you get to Peach and she says that line, our princess is in another castle, and then is like, haha, just kidding. Like, that is the first time I can remember, like, self-referential humor in a video game.
Yeah. It's a good point. That's a good point, yeah.
That's the first time I could remember wanting to slap Peach. It was like, don't you play that game with me, woman.
Have you looked out a window? Do you know where you are? We're in video game Mordor. You shut up.
Yeah.
After what I just went through.
All right, is there anything else you guys want to say about Mario 3? We kind of need to move on to Mario World.
Love and kisses, Mario 3.
All right.
You were everything.
I'll have some final questions about Mario 3, but let's move on to Mario World. Released in August 1991, just 1 year later, at least for us, Japan had to wait a while, and was released with the launch of the Super Nintendo, if I'm correct. This was the title that you wanted to get the Super NES for. I believe it was this and, was it Pilot
Populous.
Wings? Was it
Populous? Populous is what came with mine, but I know that a different second game came with other friends' consoles.
Mine came with Pilot Wings.
Right?
I thought it was Pilot Wings, which was also a really great showpiece for what the system could do.
Yeah, it was a great simulator. I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll start this discussion. I remember getting Super Mario World. I was waiting for this game. Mario 3 had surprised me, and I had not kept great tabs on it, so I was really prepped for Mario World. I remember seeing a screenshot of the game, and there was a picture of a bullet bill the size of the screen that Mario was ducking, and I thought that was so freaking amazing. So I asked for this for Christmas, and I got it, and I plopped the game in to play it, and there was already a save file. And what had happened was my brother and my dad...
those assholes!
They opened it and played it days before I could. And I was like, why did you play this? And my dad was like, well, we wanted to wanted to make sure it worked. And it works. It's great. It works just fine. Yeah, Super Mario World. What are your first thoughts about this game, guys?
It's high in my heart. I never owned an NES with my brother. It was always like a go to the cousins, play Mario 3 thing. So when Super NES came out and Super Mario World came out with it, it was all mine. You know, I could stay up late and play it. I didn't have to turn it over to my cousin. It was all mine.
Nice.
And Yoshi.
Scott?
I just remember the graphical difference blew my mind as a kid. I was so literally mind blown. But it was very funny. The year before it was Mario 3, and then the next year Super Nintendo Mario World came out. It was very quick. And remembering at that time, it was hard for me to differentiate some of the levels. I'll get things mixed up and think that there's a water world when there's not really a water world in Mario World. That was
and
in
end
Mario
up hopping
3.
Around in the frog suit forever and ever.
Yeah,
no, sorry.
Yeah, but Mario World. Fantastic. The world design, every world was just really pretty and very detailed, and the ghost ship, the sunken ghost ship, was so awesome. But this game was, for me, the coolest thing about this game was this is when, you know, media started paying attention to video games, and I had played and beaten this game and got to the end, but I had never realized that if you opened all five of the star, if you opened all five of those star levels, and if you beat all five of the star levels, you got an extra level, and then it took you to another level, and then it took you to a secret magical world with these levels that were called like gnarly and awesome and super cool.
Oh, the special world, yeah.
The special world. I didn't play those worlds until like a year or two after the game came out because I didn't even know they existed. I had no idea. So that was such an exciting thing to come back to the game to play those levels, which has now become a staple of Mario games to have these extra incredibly hard levels, you know, at the end of the game. But that was just, that's what I remember fondly about Mario World.
Now, Pete, my outcast, you
yes.
played Mario 3, and how did you either miss out or just not care for Mario World? What happened?
Well, it was the I had the exact opposite experience of Lorenzo, where I had my own NES and I had Mario 3 all to myself all the time. And then when it came to the next year, I got a Genesis. A Genesis by that time. And so I wanted Genesis games, and I didn't get a Super Nintendo. It never entered in the equation. My brother didn't want one either. My brother was tired of video games, and I wanted a Genesis. It's like, whatever, Super Nintendo. And my best friend had one, and we trade every now and again. But I'd get other games. Besides, I never got around to Super Mario World until years and years later. And so I just I've played it, and I never got to the super secret star levels, but there are a lot of things I like about it, but I just haven't been exposed to it.
Okay.
Do you think your life? Sorry for asking a question, Chris.
Go for it.
Do you think your life would have ended up different if you got an SNES instead of a Sega?
I often think that. Yes. I would have been exposed to different games through different video games, but I would have missed out on certain others, and I eventually did play every Super Nintendo game that I wanted to play. It just took a lot longer.
I ask that because I have two classes of friends. I have the Sega and Sony friends, and I have the Nintendo friends.
Mm.
And I don't know, there was something so edgy about those Sega and Sony friends. Like, they knew something that I didn't. I was just, like, at home cuddling with my Mario, and there they are playing this dangerous, sexy Lara Croft. It's like, oh, God. Give me my Mario.
You know, I mean, like, the Sega and Nintendo war was certainly a big thing. I feel the gap between fanboys is even bigger nowadays, and I think part of the reason with that is, I mean, back in the day, it was Sega versus Nintendo, but now it's Japanese-developed games versus Western-developed games versus European-developed games, and these three regions really develop their games differently. And it's really whatever caters to you. And I feel people really are dug in their trenches on their territories. It's kind of fascinating, but that's a discussion for another time.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe once Super Mario World came out, there was a little more competition to weed out the
true fans of it, as opposed to back when Super Mario 3, well, I guess a year previous, there was a more focused crowd.
I don't know. On the Genesis, Super Sonic the Hedgehog 2 had just come out
Ooh,
right
true.
After that.
Yeah,
and Genesis was already established, and Sonic 2 is a fantastic game.
It is.
Oh,
no
doubt. I love that game, and it's a two-player game. You could play at the same time. And I love Mario Brothers, I do, but it was always two-player experiences. It's always player one Mario, it's the person who owns the game and is great at the game, and they run through the level, and then Luigi pops on, and Luigi dies, because the guy playing Luigi doesn't know how to play as well. And so you're stuck on the one level as Luigi, while Mario is four levels ahead, and you're just, it's so aggravating.
Well, let's I'm going to start this Mario World discussion with probably a very controversial statement. I think Mario World is the superior game. I really do. Even though it doesn't have the suits, I think what it brings to the table outweighs what Mario Brothers 3 brought to the table. I think Mario Brothers 3 is the more landmark game, but as far as better design and I think replayability, I think I have to say Mario World. You guys chew on that. If you hate me, go on and hate me. Let me mention some of the things that Mario World brought to the table. First off, it brought the spin jump, which it's a very slight thing, but it alters how you play the game. Because Mario can kill certain things with the spin jump that he can't with his normal jump, but his arc with the spin jump is different. I think the spin jump's also a little looser to control than his regular jump. Is that true? Do you guys remember?
I'd say that. You can't really recover from it on your way down.
Yeah. The overworld map, whereas the world maps in Mario Bros. 3, I felt, were detailed, the overworld map for Mario World felt organic. And I love being able to return to a level and replay it and find hidden exits, which is something you cannot do with Mario Bros. 3. Mario World introduced saving your game, which I felt definitely made the game easier.
Well, I think those two elements go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Being able to save your game means you could go back and experience the other things.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Putting the Koopalings in castles, I thought the castles were way more varied than the layouts of the airships. And it also gave us the ghost houses, which are their own fucked up little twisted level. Just, you know, there's like maybe 8 or 9 ghost houses throughout the game. And each time you go into one, there's just this, like, the ghost houses been their own rules of their game. Like, they're such weird areas.
And if you succeed, it provides an alternate route.
It does, but you don't necessarily know if you chose the right route. Like, there's no way to know with the ghost house. Like, the other areas, if there's a secret exit, I believe the dot on the map is red, if there's a second exit. But the ghost house, it doesn't tell you. It's just there. It's just there, guys.
It's just there, right around the corner.
And then, of course, you have Yoshi. I did find out Miyamoto wanted to include Yoshi earlier in the development of Mario Brothers, but they were never able to do it on the original Nintendo. But with the Super NES, they had the graphical power and processing power to incorporate him, so they did. I just threw out a lot of information at you guys. What do you want to talk about?
If you don't mind, what you were saying about I'm sorry, I was trying to look up something on my phone to talk about it. Yeah, please go to somebody else. I'm so sorry.
Well, Scott, you want to take that?
Yeah, I'm going to take that. So here's my dilemma between these two games. When you say that Super Mario World is a better game, you're right. It's a better game because it has better graphics. It's a better game because it was created later, so they had more time and more processing power and, you know, all that, okay? But where I will refute that is Super Mario 3 is the pinnacle of the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I can name 7 games that are better than Mario World on the Super Nintendo. Hmm. It's not the pinnacle. It's not.
Is it the pinnacle of Mario games, though? Not the system that it's on.
Do you consider Mario Kart a Mario game?
I would probably say no, but I mean, people
in
can definitely...
In that case, it is, because the only other Mario game is Super Mario World 2, which I actually didn't really like very much.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it's competing against one game. But, like, Mario 3 was better than regular Metroid. Mario 3 was better than the original Zelda or Zelda 2. Mario World is not better than Link to the Past. Mario World is not better than Super Metroid. So, though Mario World, I'll agree with you. Yeah, it's a better game than Mario 3 because of time, because they had more stuff to do. But Mario 3 was a much more impactful game on the series than Mario World. Mario World did better what Mario 3 did, but it was all started in Mario 3 with the overworld map and the, you know... So that's my feeling.
Is Mario Brothers 3 a better game than The Legend of Zelda?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the biggest Zelda fan you'll ever meet. Once again, it's because Zelda was created a long, 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 long time ago, and Mario 3 was 88. I mean, you know, it in 2-3 years, everything can change. But there's a lot of issues with the original Zelda that were perfected in Link to the Past, one of the greatest games ever invented ever.
Okay.
So,
Lorenzo, did you find what you were looking for?
I did, in my mind. I bailed on the Google search because that kills conversations, obviously. But what you were saying about how the worlds are organic, you know, there wasn't a screen swipe at the end of World 1. You just passed through a tunnel and you were into World 2. You know,
yeah.
It was all one big world, and it kind of like established a Mario world for us all to be familiar with, including, you know, ghosts and including Yoshi. You know, you could uncover the red block and the blue block and the yellow block and go back and play a level with a completely different result, which kind of like asked the players to replay the game without them making the decisions themselves. Like, hey, guys, go back and you'll find this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just throughout the entire game. So it just keeps investing you more and more into the game until you're at that beautiful, beautiful Bowser's Castle with that beautiful, beautiful neon light. You can go in the back door straight to Bowser. I mean, come on, how cool is this game?
That is true. You can skip all the way to his back door if you want to. I forgot that you could do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've had the Bowser theme running through my head from that level ever since we started this conversation. Dum-dum, ch-dum-dum, ch-dum-dum, ch-dum-dum.
Pete, did you have something that you wanted to add?
Super Mario World improved on a lot of things that Super Mario 3 did and also tried to do. And so when it comes to Super Mario World, Yoshi is the best idea from that game. Because in Super Mario 3, you had these fantastic suits and all these great powers, and they were neat, but you lose track of what they can do, and you get all these items along the bottom of your screen in between maps. And now, just give me some eggs, I'll hatch a Yoshi, and I'll do my thing with Yoshi. And I like that. It's like with Mega Man when they introduced Rush. Instead of having all these different vehicles, let's have one character who turns into these vehicles, and it makes it easier. Easier on our processors and so on.
So essentially giving your power-ups a character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that. I like having Yoshi. I was like, good Yoshi.
Well, since you brought it up, I wanted to talk about Yoshi because he's kind of the dinosaur sitting in the room here. And you have to remember, not only do you have just green Yoshi, you also have red, yellow, and blue or purplish Yoshi who all have different powers. But yeah, what do you guys think about Yoshi? You think this is a really good idea? Do you think what he brings to the table changes the game dynamic in a good way, or is it? Did you find Yoshi annoying? Did you tend to play without him?
I couldn't tell who was saying that last point about having Yoshi over the over the different items you can have in Mario 3.
Oh, that was Pete.
Okay, Pete, that was a great point because you know you get to a point in Mario 3 when you look at your options and it's just like star, 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 mushroom, star, star. It's like Jesus Christ, give me something else to do here. And with Yoshi, I mean, it enables all of those things, well, most of those things, plus some extras, and it kind of makes it a little more personal. Like, he is your friend, he's your companion throughout the game.
Scott?
Look, I love me some Yoshi. He's amazing. but Mario World is severely lacking in suits. I mean, you get a cape and that's it. And, man, gosh, you need some more suits in Mario World, and it's like the best game ever. But that being said, the one cool thing that you do with Yoshi is how you can sacrifice him.
Aww.
And there's one secret world.
Get that second jump out of him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one secret world that the only way you can get there is by sacrificing a Yoshi. And by the way, Yoshi is more of a breed and not an actual name of a character because there's all different, you know, colors of Yoshis. So, It's not like there's one Yoshi. I always wondered what Yoshi's name was It was Yoshi, but like that's the name of the breed.
Well, that's the first one, and then you leave him behind to get to the secret world, and then you have to hatch another one.
Yeah.
Now, just because he's green doesn't mean he's the same Yoshi, you racist.
Well, in Smash Brothers, there's a Yoshi.
I'm out of here.
His name is Yoshi. So
there is this brilliant picture. If you Google it, I'm sure you can find it on the internet somewhere. Someone drew a picture of Mario jumping off Yoshi, using him as a suicide to reach a platform. And it is this really beautiful illustration of Mario jumping off him and like Yoshi falling away in the background with a tear in his eye, reaching up to him as he realizes he's dying. And it's so funny. And it is like the perfect illustration of what exactly you do to Yoshi in this poor game. One thing we didn't touch on was the music for both games, which Mario Brothers 3 had a pretty varied soundtrack. Mario World has one melody, essentially, that plays throughout the whole game, but it changes depending on the level that you're in. It's slower in the water levels. It echoes when you're in the cavern. It has a drum beat when you're riding Yoshi. What do you guys want to say about the music?
The Mario theme runs through my head at random intervals throughout my life. It'll get in my head from 3, the original, just the opening menu theme.
Oh, really?
And it'll play. And I'll just be anywhere doing anything, and the theme will pop into my head. Could be a couple notes from a song on the radio, and then all of a sudden I'm like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's, yeah, I love Mario music. It's fantastic. And I love the ba-da-da-da-da-da. And you know where you are when you hear that music. It's like, oh, crap, I'm underground, and now I have to find my way out.
I have to say this about the you made a good point. Mario 3 has a superior soundtrack, actually. It is true that you know, with the Mario world, he just takes the same exact melody, does it in 3/4 time, does it in 4/4 time, adds the bongo drums when you're on Yoshi, slows it down, speeds it up, but it's the same. It's really the same thing, you know. But I find, you know, the different themes of each world in Mario 3, Super Mario 3, each world has a different theme, and then you have the different, you know, levels on each of those worlds. Funny tidbit: Super Mario Bros. 3, the water world, that music is actually the same music that Koji Kondo uses for the select screen in Ocarina of Time and Link to the Past. Exact song.
You're right. I checked that out. It's the same. It's the same.
Same
song,
just done a little bit differently. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Out of town.
Yeah, with the water world, it has a little beat to it, so it's not as like, you know, somber and silent. You know, with the way that it's with Zelda, with like strings and harps, it's got a little more funky electric keyboard beat to it, but it's the same song. Anyway, I think Mario Bros. 3 is a better soundtrack.
Lorenzo, any comments on the music?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Mario 3 does have the best soundtrack. Mario World, they kind of, you know, had other things to lean on and kind of be proud of, whereas music kind of revolutionized video game music.
You know, I think it's funny you all say Mario Bros. 3. I have run into so many people who hum the Super Mario World theme just in my daily life. Like, I'll just run into random people just being like, like, it's that Mario World theme. I just hear it. Like, I just run into it. I don't know why. I've just run into more people who have that song. Maybe it's because it's the only song that plays in that game.
You're right. That's why that gets stuck in your head.
You know? But it's a good song to have stuck in your head. Is there anything else you guys want to say about Super Mario World? I have some few questions here that I want to ask you all, but is there something we have not mentioned yet?
They did. It wasn't just the music. It was the sound was a lot better, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Scotty said the graphics earlier, they were great, too. Everything seemed to be amped up in Super Mario World. And if you like 3, you'll like Super Mario World, especially those gigantic Yoshi coins. I love getting those because it was the sound they made. Mm-hmm. I forget how it went, but it was different than the other coin sound. And when you got it, it made that nice bling sound. And, yeah, it was satisfying. And so the sound effects were better, too. And things were amped up, but it just didn't feel right to me. 3 was such an important game to me.
Which game has the better final boss fight with King Koopa?
Ah.
It's a tough one. Yeah, let me refresh your memory just in case.
They're both great.
Mario, you know,
I remember both of them.
Okay.
But you can remind the listeners.
Yes, in the listening audience, in Mario Brothers 3, when you finally get to King Koopa, if you have the Fire Flower or the Hammer Brothers suit, you can kill him with that, I believe. Otherwise, you have to let him try and stomp on you to the point to where he smashes through the floor and falls into a pit. In Mario World, he comes at you in his clown car, dropping all types of shit on you, throwing his little mecha Koopas out at you, flying around the screen, flames. Flying towards the screen, away from the screen. The flames. Yeah, which boss fight do you think is better, guys?
What are those goons called that he throws down? You wind them up.
They're the mecha Koopas. You have to jump on them and like throw them back up at them and try and hit them on the head.
Yeah, Mario World Koopa or Bowser is just much more difficult to beat. I mean, all like the dropping fire. Come on, it's covering every inch of the ground. You have to time that perfectly. You know, you have to dance along the fire and then skirt under one real quick to jump over the other one and. You know, now you're in the clear. Now it's coming back at you. I mean, it's incredible.
The clown car that he rides in is also like deceivingly happy. It's like this mocking smiley face.
It's very Jack Nicholson as a Joker.
Yeah, it does have like this tint of Joker of like it's so fun to be evil type of thing going on.
Yeah, Bowser had a very another movie reference, like Biff in Back to the Future 2. He had a very I run this casino type. Sinful world.
Yeah, with the neon sign above his castle.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think Bowser had started smoking heavily between the two games, so. Scott, have you come to a conclusion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the boss battle in Super Mario World is definitely better. Though I do enjoy the boss battle in Super Mario 3, but the weird thing about that is it is a lot easier than the game itself. Getting to Bowser is so hard in Mario 3, and the actual boss fight is pretty simple. Whereas Mario World, it's a lot easier to get to Bowser, but that boss fight is pretty intense.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. It's a very epic fight.
It is. It's a fantastic boss fight.
All right, gentlemen.
Oh, the lightning bolts? Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Right, now I'm going to have to play that.
Yeah,
I have
May
a...
I?
Oh,
May
go
I?
Ahead. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, the boss battle in Super Mario World was much more difficult, but he was cheating, you know. In Super Mario 3, it was mano a mano. It was me against him. It was a final battle. It's like, bring it. And he wanted to step on me, and he couldn't, and I won. I don't need a suit. I could just run around. And in Super Mario World, it was a really difficult battle, and it was satisfying when you finally won, and the princess comes out, and hooray! But they had that thing where he comes close to the screen, and it was a showcase game for the new system, and it was, look what we can do by bringing the clown face in front of the screen. It's like, hooray for you. Can I fight him now?
You bring up a good point. That fight is a lot of fancy tricks.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mario Brothers 3 fight is that, you know, I'm here, you're here, now let go of my fucking princess, man. Just let go.
It's like, this is the last time you do this to me. Come on.
Come on. Surely this will be the last time you do this to me.
You'll never get your hands on her again.
No. We're going to change address. You'll never find her. So we've been talking near an hour here. I have just a few final questions that I want to throw out to my experts. But Pete, let me check in with you. Is there anything we've touched on or anything we haven't mentioned that you would like to talk about?
No, we're covering it. And this is, yeah, I'm having a good time. Let's keep going.
Okay, so let's ask the big question first. Which game is your favorite, Mario 3 or Mario World? Lorenzo.
Mario World.
Ooh. Scott?
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Pete?
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What is the best power-up between the two games?
You know, Yoshi is so user-friendly. I mean, the things you could do with him, I mean, it makes the game 10 times better, but that cape,
I'm a primary colors man, you know, so when red and blue Mario gets that yellow cape, you know, the world is one. Everything's perfect.
You know, we didn't really talk about the cape. The cape is a very different flight mechanic from the Leaf and the Tanuki, and it's definitely, you need more skill to use the cape.
Total challenge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was like 6 months where I just didn't even try to fly with that cape. I just thought, okay, I'm just going to keep jumping up and down and getting these coins. And then one day my dad did it, and I'm like, okay, I've got to learn how to do this.
That's awesome. Scott, what about you?
Oh, it has to be the elusive Hammer Brothers suit. Mm. The elusive Hammer Brothers suit. All I ever wanted in life was unlimited Hammer Brothers suit. In fact, I got the Game Genie, and I plugged it into Super Mario Bros. 3. There was a code you could enter.
And you scream at me for skipping levels?
Hold on. Pete, this is after I'd beaten the game like 1,000 times. But listen what I did with the Game Genie. I didn't skip levels with the Game Genie because that makes the game shorter, Pete. We're not making the game shorter. I put in a code that every time that Mario got hit, he turned into the Hammer Brother Mario. Every time he got hit, no matter what I was wearing, every time I got hit, I got turned into Hammer Brother Mario.
How heartbreaking for Koopa and his minions.
Oh, it was just like, oh, I got you. Oh, no, now you have hammers?
It's like the Terminator. He's unstoppable.
Oh, yeah. So awesome. Oh, the Game Genie. Remember that? Remember those times?
Remember that? Oh. Pete, do you have a favorite power-up?
You know what? I'm going to go utilitarian, and I'm going to say the mushroom.
Very nice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Normandy.
No, I think the mushroom throughout all of the games is not only iconic, but also the most useful. You become Big Mario. Let's do this. This is your first power-up. It's the most essential power-up.
No, I agree with you. So here's a nice little final question for all of you. For the game that is not your favorite, what improvements can be made to fix that for you?
Jeez, I'm not gonna record my voice on the internet suggesting improvements for Mario 3. I mean, my love for Mario World is it's borderline personal. You know, I played it with my dad. I owned the SNES and I didn't own the NES, so I'd say it's all personal. I've agreed with everything these guys have had to say about Mario 3, and I love it. Sorry.
For Mario World, I've already said this a few times. It's very simple. If Mario World had more suits, it would be the better game for me.
So if you were riding a Yoshi wearing a Hammer Brothers suit, that would be the end-all be-all.
I mean, that'd be amazing. But the point is that there's a lot of the game that you play without Yoshi, you know? Yoshi's not in every.
It doesn't have to be that way,
you know. So you can take him.
You can take him into any level except for castles and ghost houses.
Oh well, you know.
You just hate Yoshi.
Maybe Yoshi needed to have more suits. Like, I know he could swallow a thing and then shoot fire from it, but it's like I don't know. Yoshi's great. It's awesome, but I miss being able to, like, you know, just fling and throw crap.
You're a power-up kid,
look,
Scott. Yeah,
look, I am, but you're making me talk bad about one of the best games ever, and I just don't like this. I just don't like it. It's like making me pick between Final Fantasy and freaking Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't be forced to do it. I will not do it. It cannot happen.
Choose the child you love more. Choose! Pete, what about you over there, my outcast?
Oh, what could you do the Mario World? I don't know. They made so many improvements. I think if it had been released later, I understood it had to be the flagship game, but I wish they could have gotten used to the Super Nintendo more before they released it. I think that would have helped because the music was really repetitive and and that boss battle annoyed me with the, and I've already mentioned it, so I'm not going to go on. I'm not going to talk bad about it. It's a great game. It really is. I just wasn't exposed to it, and I have so many more specific memories of Mario Brothers 3, and yeah.
Oh, you know a feature I forgot to mention about Mario World? The checkpoints. I know you mentioned saving the game, but the checkpoints.
I mean, cutting the level in half. That's, I mean, that was incredible.
It does.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, it does allow for longer level design, too. I mean,
yeah, it's a good Sonic the Hedgehog idea.
Absolutely.
Touché, Genesis. Touché. Well, I think
who has endured, Pete? Who has endured? That's the question.
All right, we're not getting into this discussion, gentlemen. Come on. Let's just
Sega
all...
Sega makes games for Nintendo, bitches.
Look, let's just all agree Crash Bandicoot is the best one, all right?
Crash Bandicoot.
Jam and Earl, baby.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot to mention, there is a Super Nintendo version of Mario Bros. 3 that you can play on the Super Mario All-Stars game, which is actually my preferred way to play that game. Like, I do enjoy the NES version. I like that. I like their Super Nintendo remix just a little bit better. I mean, the graphics are just a nice little polish, and you can save, which I always like that. So,
you know, Chris, yeah, you totally ignited a memory of mine. I loved playing Mario 3 on Mario All-Star.
Yeah.
That game is that Mario All-Stars was fantastic. Super had the lost levels, and those, you want to talk about difficulty? Mario Lost Levels is one of the hardest platformers ever made. It is ridiculous.
And it's deceiving.
It is so hard.
I mean, Mario All-Stars was essentially doing the HD remake before such a thing existed.
Yeah. Mm. Once again, kids, Nintendo innovates. For all you Sony and Xbox people who want Nintendo to die, if Nintendo dies, video games die. They're the only company who innovates.
Scott, we're not going to talk about Nintendo's financial forecast
right now. That's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast. We'll have a Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft discussion someday. So,
all right,
gentlemen. That unfortunately brings us to a close in our discussion. Was there anything that you want to say? Any final thoughts about either game as we wrap this up?
What was your favorite world from each game?
Ooh.
In Mario Bros. 3, I always loved the giant world. I just loved the giant Goombas and the giant question marks and the giant bricks. Absolutely. And in the Super Mario World, it wasn't really a world, but my favorite part was getting to the ghost ship. The ghost ship that was sunk in the water, and you can kind of see it as you're going around all the other worlds, and then you finally get to it, and it's really cool. So the ghost ship.
I'd agree with World 4, the giant world in Mario 3. That was just, you know, I mean, it's the same thing, but everything's huge. Like, what work went into that? That's so awesome. Mario World, I can't remember what it was called. Chaco Valley? It was down in the bottom right-hand corner of the world before the sunken pirate ship.
Yeah, it's the Chocolate Islands, yeah.
You know, you're jumping on the dinosaurs, the mini dinosaurs that breathe fire straight up into the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
That was a fun world. I like that.
I think my answer, Pete, would be for Mario World, it would be the Forest of Illusion, because it's a maze, and to get out, you have to find one of the secret exits, and there's multiple exits to leave, but the primary exit is very well hidden, if I remember this correctly. For Mario Bros. 3, it's the final world. It's Koopa's Mordor. It's so evil when you get there. And it's just like, this is what I have to go through now? I just went through 7 worlds, and now I have to go through this. Look at all this blood and skulls. There's a mountain of skulls over there. Come on. It was such a great atmospheric finale. So
Nice.
Yeah, nice choices.
Excellent. Scott, Lorenzo, did you guys have anything you wanted to say about either game before we wrap this up?
These are both fantastic games, both playable on the Wii Shop or on the DS Shop. If you have not played this is where platforming was created and it was perfected. And the art of playing platform games has fallen to the way of playing shooters. So if you think you're a gamer and you can't play platformers, throw yourself off a cliff.
That's nice. Nicely set. Nicely put.
Lorenzo?
Yeah, throw yourself off a cliff. No, it's...
all
you
listeners out here.
These games have been, you know, cherished for 3 years, 24 years, 25 years, and it's not going to end. I mean, it's a beautiful system.
I would like to add on to that these games are, I mean, they're truly video game classics. I feel like if you're a movie buff, you need to go back and watch, you know, the cinematic classics, Orson Welles stuff and whatnot. And I feel if you're a gamer, you need to go back and at least try these games and see what was going on at the time. I would argue that they still hold up very well and are very playable today, but I understand if some people cannot play them today, that, you know, some people just have a very hard time playing retro games, so that makes me sad.
You know, I recommend that anybody who likes Mario should check out the game Doki Doki Panic. And I heard there are some similarities there, and yeah. So if you're a retro gamer and you like Japanese games, Doki Doki Panic might be the way for you.
We still don't know what that's Japanese for. So we'll just...
Nor do I know what the characters look like originally before they put the Mario skins on them. So
all right,
it'd be interesting.
Well, that brings our Mario Brothers 3 / Super Mario World discussion to a close, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Is there any other projects that you're working on? Any other podcasts or things that you wish to plug at this time?
Well, geez, nothing coming up. No podcast. Boy, do I wish I had a podcast coming up. These are fun.
I'll get you in on more, buddy. Don't worry.
Oh, great. But no, I've got my two-man ukulele band, Tiberius, and our love for Star Trek and Star Wars is seen through every song, so please check us out.
And aren't you in a show right now, Lorenzo?
That's right, at the Public House Theater. I'm in Escape from Chicago, which is a play on the Escape from New York and L.A. movies. It's an original production being put up in Public House, and it's a lot of fun. A tight hour, 5-minute show. It's a Naked Gun for Escape from New York. It's really fun.
What's the run on your show?
We open next Friday, and we close on the 28th of February. Friday's okay. At 10 p.m.
All right. Scott, Pete, you guys have anything?
Yeah, I'm in a band called Bourbon and Bliss. We go into the studio to record our second album this Friday. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, check us out, www.bourbonandbliss.com.
Cool. Pete?
Nothing as of yet, but got some things brewing, so maybe you'll hear my name more on the internet.
Woo! Cool. If you're in the Chicago area, like Lorenzo mentioned, check out the Public House Theater. I'm usually drifting around there and hope to be putting up a show sometime soon, so if you want to see what I look like, you can actually come out and visit me there. If you have topic comments, suggestions, any protests or things that you want to rant about or be angry about, you can email them to thenerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. I also recently had the joy of being on my friend Mark Soloff. He runs a podcast known as the Blastro Podcast. It is a, I believe as he described it, fake science, real comedy show where we discuss quite humorously scientific topics. Specifically, I'm on the episode about cloning, so that should be fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining me here today. I have been your host, Chris Bastian, and my guests today have been...
Lorenzo.
Scott.
And Pete.
Thank you, gentlemen, and Smooth McGroove will take us out. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba